Good evening, and welcome to Digging Deeper, a ministry of Green Valley Baptist Church in Lebanon, Virginia. We're so thankful that you've taken the time to join us tonight as we continue to seek to be rooted and grounded in Christ by exploring the fundamentals of the Christian faith. And as always, we begin with the Bible, because the Bible is God's inspired word to man. And when it comes to Christianity, everything rises or falls on what we believe about the Bible, God's holy word. Tonight we come to the sixth message in our journey of discovering the fundamentals of the Christian faith. And tonight God is going to be speaking to us about baptism and communion. And I'm going to be reading tonight from the book of Acts, the 10th chapter, and I'll be beginning in the 44th verse. And so if you have a Bible there at home, you can follow along. And if you do not have a Bible, you write us here at the church or call us on the phone, and we'll be certain to get a Bible to you. Now the word of our God says to us in Acts chapter 10, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer tonight? Oh, Father, as we come this night on Digging Deeper, as we begin to talk about the two sacraments of the church, baptism and communion, Lord, I pray that you will grant us an ear to hear tonight. Lord, we pray for those who have not yet professed Christ, not yet repented of their sin and placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that the word that you will share with us tonight would bring conviction to their heart, that they might see their need for a Savior. Father, we pray for your will as always to be done. We pray for that Christian who has wandered far from the fold, who has gone back away, that tonight might be the night that they turn around, that they return unto the Lord. Lord, we pray that your word would not go out void, but that your word would accomplish its perfect will and its perfect purpose for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, a Presbyterian minister and a Baptist preacher were discussing baptism. And the Baptist preacher made a passionate argument on the subject. And the Presbyterian asked the Baptist preacher if a person was baptized if water came up to his chin. No! Up to his nose? No! Came the reply. Up to his eyebrows? No! You must understand completely. Completely immersed until his head is covered. The Presbyterian minister said, that's what I've been trying to tell you. It only takes a little water on top of the head. It's only what's on top of the head that counts. Well, let's look first tonight at baptism. Let's answer some questions about baptism. The first is, who should be baptized? Now our text says, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. There is an interesting thing here in Acts chapter 10 that leads up to this. You see, there was a man of the Italian band named Cornelius who feared God. And Cornelius received a vision from God that he should send to Joppa for Peter. So he sent for him. Meanwhile, in Joppa, Peter went up on the roof of Simon the Tanner's house to pray. And while he was praying, the Holy Ghost spoke to him as well and told him that men from Caesarea were coming for him and that he should go with them. Now, Peter obeyed, and he went with those men whom Cornelius had sent. And when he was come, he preached unto them the word of the Lord. And as he preached, some men became saved. Now, that's very important for us. You see, the Bible teaches so that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when Cornelius and those who had gathered with him heard the word of the Lord, faith came into their hearts, and they repented of their sin, and they received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, came to dwell in them. Listen to me, only those who trust in Jesus Christ receive his promised Holy Spirit. They were not baptized until they believed in Jesus. So baptism is for believers, but baptism is not needed for salvation. Baptism is the first testimony of a new believer. It should be the first thing they do right after they get saved. Listen, if baptism brought salvation, then salvation would come from man, because man baptizes, isn't that right? But the Bible teaches that salvation is a free gift from God. It is unearned. So then if baptism was necessary for salvation, you would think Jesus would be busy baptizing. But even when the Lord Jesus was here upon the earth, the Bible says plainly, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. If baptism were necessary for salvation, then surely the Apostle Paul would be baptizing if it were necessary for salvation. But again, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 1:17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And so just to be clear then, baptism doesn't save. It does, however, show everyone that you have been saved. Now someone might be thinking then, why be baptized at all? Well, that's a fair question and a good question and the right question. And the answer to that is found in Matthew 28:19-20. This is the great commission Jesus Christ gave to his disciples and to his church. Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Baptism then identifies us with Jesus Christ. When we're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, we're taking a stand for who we now are. We're showing the world that we are now identifying ourselves with Jesus Christ because he purchased us by his blood and by his sacrifice on the cross. He has redeemed us, and now we're showing the world we are his. We are baptized, you see, as an act of obedience, because one of the commands of the Great Commission was baptism. When we baptize, we're doing what the Lord Jesus Christ commanded us to do. We are submitting to the Lord, all the Lord of our life, by doing what he wants us to do. Now someone may be wondering, well, what does baptism mean anyway? And God answers that question for us in Romans chapter 6, in verses 3 and 4. This is what the Bible says. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Baptism, then, is a picture of what Jesus Christ did for us. Friend, he died, and he was buried. And so when we're baptized, we die with him. We are buried under the water. He rose, and we are raised to a new life, our new life, our new identification with Jesus. Baptism, you see, is a living picture of what has occurred in our lives. We were dead in sin, but we repented of our sin. And so baptism pictures our death to sin. We are buried under the water, and we are raised new. Baptism pictures our resurrection, our brand new life in Jesus Christ. So every believer should be baptized. Every believer should take a stand and identify with Jesus Christ. Every believer should publicly declare by baptism that they are not who they used to be. They have been made new. They are now a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they go public to show it. That's why we baptize. Well, yeah, there's a second thing we're going to talk about tonight. And that second thing is this, communion or the Lord's Supper. Well, what does communion or the Lord's Supper mean? The Bible teaches, 1 Corinthians 11, beginning in the 23rd verse, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." And so Jesus started the Lord's Supper. The Bible says on the night that he was betrayed, and so it was the night before the cross, it was the last meal that he would share with the apostles before he was crucified. It was the Passover. The Passover commemorated God delivering the Jews out of bondage in Egypt, out of slavery into the freedom. And God told the Jews to sacrifice a lamb and put the blood over the doorpost and upon the lintels. Everyone who was under the blood would be spared. Everyone who's under the blood is saved. Jesus was to begin a new way. He was about to begin a new covenant. He was going to become the Passover lamb for us. He was going to be the perfect sacrifice because Jesus was without sin. And if you've truly repented of your sin, then you have had to come to the cross of Christ. You have had to repent. You have had to turn away from your sin. You have turned to God. You've had to turn to God. And when you turned to God, you came under the blood. And oh, as the song says, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. All who are under His blood are saved. What are the elements of the Lord's Supper? Jesus said the bread represents the body, His body, the body of Jesus. Jesus gave His body for us. Jesus was beaten. The Bible said He had His beard plucked out. The Bible says He was marred more than any other man. Jesus gave His body for us. He was beaten. He took upon Himself that which we deserve. And then after being beaten, after being mocked, Jesus was nailed to Calvary's cross. The Bible teaches that Jesus died a physical death. His body was broken so that we can live. And so the bread represents His body. The cup represents the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood is the life of a person. No blood, no life. And the Bible teaches that Jesus shed His blood, that by His stripes we would be healed. Jesus shed His blood on Calvary's cross. Friend, His life ran out and pooled at the base of the cross. He gave His life's blood to pay for our sins. Why do we celebrate a Lord's Supper or communion? Because it is a memorial. We do it to remember what Jesus did for us. We do it to remember the price that Jesus paid for our salvation. We do it to celebrate our salvation because our salvation is signed, sealed, and delivered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we do it not to remember Jesus' death, but to remember Jesus' death and resurrection. By His resurrected life, we shall be delivered. And so we do it because we know that Jesus Christ is coming again. Well, you might be wondering, how often should we celebrate the Lord's Supper? And that's another good question. And the Bible says, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He comes. Well, friend, the Bible says there's no set frequency. There's no set frequency in the Bible. We shouldn't wait so long, however, that we don't take time to remember what Jesus did for us. And we shouldn't do it so much that it becomes just commonplace and we just go through the motions just as if Jesus never came and never died. We need to think about its meaning. We need to examine ourselves in the light of its meaning. How then are we to approach the Lord's Supper? The Bible instructs us, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. 1 Corinthians 11:27-31. And so clearly, God's word teaches we should be serious, sober-minded as we take the Lord's Supper. Jesus Christ paid a great price for us. When we remember his death, it should be a serious matter for us. He paid the price for us. We should examine ourselves. We need to make sure our attitude is right. We should be thankful for what Jesus Christ has done for us. We should consider what it cost Jesus Christ to save us. He took what we deserve. The Bible says that God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. All that Jesus suffered is what we deserve. And so we must consider what it cost Jesus to save us. We should make sure we're honoring Jesus by examining our lives in the light of his word, and that if there's sin in our life, we repent that we might partake of it worthily. We need to make sure we're honoring Jesus by participating. We're about to take communion or the Lord's Supper, and we all need to ask ourselves, and we all need to take time to examine ourselves, to take a look into our heart, to seek God's forgiveness for anything we might find wrong therein. Remember what God has said. If we judge ourselves in the light of his word, we shall not be judged. Again, how are we to judge ourselves? By his word. Because the Bible says when we judge ourselves by his word, it illuminates, it shines a light in us, it points out the areas where we are failing in heart, mind, body, and soul. And the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So you see, we judge ourselves by his word so that we would not be judged. Listen, family and friends, of this we can be certain. We will be judged according to his word. So that's why you need to allow God's Holy Spirit to lead you in examining your hearts tonight. And if God points out any sin, then confess that sin so you can be free to take part of his Holy Communion. And of course, for that to occur, you will need to get yourself to a Bible-believing church to partake, or you'll have to have a minister come to you and serve you. Family and friends, remember, it is God's will for you that you become rooted and grounded in him so that you can survive and thrive in this present world. The Bible states, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith. In Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus, he prayed that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. Well, perhaps tonight as you listened, you've not yet been baptized because you have not yet repented of your sin. But tonight God is showing you and God is drawing you and God has convinced you in your mind. God has convicted in your heart that it is time for you to repent and time for you to be saved. And if that describes you tonight, you bow your head and you sincerely pray these words from your heart. Lord Jesus, please come into my life and be my Savior and be my Lord. Please forgive my sins and grant me the gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer tonight sincerely from your heart, I want you to be assured that you are saved. There's an email or a phone number on your screen. You email us here at the church, or you call that number. You give us your name. You let us know of your decision. Do what others have done. Let us know of your decision so that we can get materials into your hands to help you in your walk with Christ, so that someone can pray with you, so that someone can hear your heart. Perhaps you're listening, you've rededicated your life to Christ tonight. Oh, hallelujah. The angels rejoice when sinners get saved. The angels rejoice when a wayward child comes home. You let us know. If you need someone to call and talk with you about your spiritual life, you call that number on the screen or you email us here at the church. You are important to us. Your eternal destiny is important to us. Tonight I want to thank you for watching. I want to thank you for listening to this ministry. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Father God, we just thank you this evening for your mercy, for your grace, for the great love that you poured out upon mankind by taking all of mankind's sin and by going to that cross that we might receive salvation in him. And now may the grace of God and his mercy shine upon you both now and forever. Amen.